The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat.
Here on the show, you'll often hear movie reviews, showbiz stories, but today we wanted to do something a little bit different to highlight an issue so many families and parents across the whole Southeast region are faced with. Amy Ahern's little boy, Luke Kelly, will turn 5 this year, which means it's time to start primary school. But unfortunately, Amy is yet to find a place for Luke in school with the appropriate facilities for his needs. Amy is here with us this morning. You're very welcome to the Sunday Grill.
Good morning, Aoife. How are you, my dear? It's lovely to be here.
We're delighted to have you.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about Luke, about himself and his personality.
Well, Luke, I tell you, is just a character. I have to say, he is the biggest messer I've ever met. He's so happy, so jolly, so innocent is the only way I can describe him. He's just so lovable, so affectionate. He loves cuddles, kisses, everything. Now, don't get me wrong, our Lukey Luke has obviously his moments. He does have quite severe meltdowns. God bless him, he does tend to self-harm when he gets into that much of a state. So yeah, we get lots of punches to the face and heads banged off the ground and things like that. He doesn't do very well with transitions. So Luke would be very happy to sit in a room and play with his toys or play with whatever he needs to do. But if I was to say to Luke, let's go to the park. You know, do you want to go on the swings? Now, he mightn't have a very good understanding, but I might use a visual or something like that to show him. But even though it's somewhere he loves to go, for him to transition to that is massive. It's absolutely massive. We rely on music big time for Luke. Luke, I have to say, and it's ironic that his name is Luke Kelly, because music seems to be his secret or his superpower. Because Luke is a Gestalt language processor. So that, a lot of people don't know what it is.
Yeah,
and a lot of parents don't even know how to pronounce it. I had to memorise it. So yeah, a Gestalt language processor basically learns through music and through intonation, like the way you talk. Like, did you ever hear Miss Rachel? And she's going, you know, full of her enthusiasm. Everything has a tone. So that's how Luke learns. So things like movies, shows like Cocomelon, which I have to say a lot of people give him a bad rep, but only for that show. My son wouldn't have a word. He wouldn't, like, my son can say the alphabet. Leo can say, count in Spanish. He can count in Portuguese. He can count in Indonesian. He can sing Happy Birthday, Wheels on the Bus. You know, he's learned to brush his teeth through this show. He's learned to use the potty every now and again through this show, because obviously they create episodes that are educational, or how to put your shoes on, how to do these things. But only for that, Luke would still, I believe to this day, Luke would still be nonverbal. Now, when I say nonverbal, he's the loudest nonverbal you've ever heard in your life, because it's all woo-woo and sounds and noises.
And he's understanding the direction and all of that.
Absolutely.
As well.
He actually, if you watch him, even when there's no music on, no show on, nothing, he'll have his toys there. And you can, well, I've picked up on it. That's what everyone laughs and said, you should be a translator, because, you know, you're able to translate body language and signals and eye contacts and stuff. But I can see him while he's playing with his toys. He's actually acting out an episode from something. So he does 10 in the bed, say, you know, 10 in the bed, and the little one said. So he has his 10 teddies, but he has the exact right teddies. So he has a teddy bear, and he has an elephant, and he has the monkey for when the monkey falls out, and he'll do it exactly like it. He is living his life through these, and he's able to use it in his day to day from the show, which is amazing, I have to say.
Isn't that just fantastic?
It's just incredible to see in the last few years, it's amazing.
And you were telling me as well, he has his interests, his specific interests that he really loves.
Absolutely, and everyone will find some of this will find funny. He's obsessed with ducks, believe it or not. And
love
thank
it.
God, ducks are actually very popular at the moment, which is great. We have accumulated, I think at the moment I counted last, was 43 ducks. No, 45 ducks, I tell a lie, because they all have to be in fives or tens. And the reason they have to be in fives or tens is because obviously the songs that he would listen to are Five Little Ducks Went Swimming One Day, or else it would be 10 in the Bed and the Little One.
So it's very exact. It has
to
be exact.
Yeah, it couldn't be just walk into the shop, Luke, and we'll have one duck. No, 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 no. He has to have five. Minimal.
Brilliant.
But yeah, ducks, music. Toy Story he adores, loves animals, loves dogs. We have my dog at home, Bella. She's great now. She can bark on cue. She'd boil the kettle if you asked her now, and that's the truth. She's very well trained. So we have her trained to say, you know, Bella, speak, you know, and she'll bark, and the the face on Luke, he loves that. He's just mesmerized by animals as well.
For yourself as a parent, what was it like when he got the diagnosis? What were the signs before he got the diagnosis?
Yeah, so this was a massive thing for me. And a lot of the time, so I caught it very, very early. You don't get, a typical child wouldn't get diagnosed until they're about 3. Now, I know what's coming down a little bit because obviously we're noticing these different telltale signs. But I would have worked with childcare for years. I think it was about 5 or 6 years. I did the level 4 and the level 5 and so on and so forth. So we were trained to look out for these things and different things that kids are struggling with. So I think Luke was about 15, 16 months old. And I started noticing these little stims that he does. So it was things like walking on his tippy toes. He would have flappy hands. He would be repeating, he would watch something and he'd want to watch the first 30 seconds of it over and over and over and over and over again. And he'd be screaming for it to be put back. And, he lined every tie up. That's like anything at all. He would get my spices out of the cupboard and he would be lining the spices up, but to perfection, as if they were measured with a ruler. So I was noticing these little things like that. And obviously he wasn't meeting his milestones towards communication and things like that and understanding. And he kind of stopped answering to his name a bit. I would like to say that he was always like that, but he really wasn't. When I look back on his baby videos, he was very much engaging and he was saying the dad, 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 dads, mum, mum, mummas, and then it was just like something happened and I can't put my finger on what happened. Mm. But yeah, he definitely regressed. So I didn't know anybody with autism. I didn't know a lot of people at all. I don't have many family members that have neurodivergency or anything like that. It was very new to me. So I did rely quite a lot on social media, which is why I think now I do put up a little bit about Luke, more so than not what I should be, but what I would usually have probably put up before. I share the good, the bad. I mean, like, Luke's transition's very difficult from schools, especially with me dropping him. He's very, very attached.
So he's in play school or preschool at the moment?
Yeah, so what he's in at the moment, and I have to say, like, my hat's off to the two schools here. I can't thank them enough and I can't rave about them enough. The first one is Kids at Play, which is a private special needs school. Luke goes there from 9 until 12 in the morning and they are specialised towards his needs. Like, he was in a mainstream creche. They were fantastic as well. The girls were all wonderful in there and they really tried their best with what they had, the resources. But I find since he's been in Kids at Play, he's excelled massively because they're teaching him things like how to use the potty, how to sit at a table, how to, maybe share toys or how to put his coat on. This is a massive thing for Lucas to keep clothes on. He just would be a nudist if he had the chance.
And that's a sensory thing too, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Is it?
He hates layers. He hates any, restriction with the clothes. So yeah, the least the better. He loves the summertime because he's running around in the nude. But and the other school then as well is what's been government assigned to me, which is Sacred Heart. They are absolutely amazing. I'm sure a lot of people have heard about themselves. Yeah. But obviously it is to try and get those services and things like that. Between forms and applications and things like that, my God, like that I was not prepared for as part of a parent.
My next question was, what was that like to navigate? So you mentioned forms, applications. There's a lot of paperwork that you just don't expect, I'm sure.
Absolutely. I mean, paperwork, I could have a filing cabinet now at this point, just specifically for Luke. Everything, there is an amazing group that I'm in at the moment, and it was actually just a parent that I was speaking with in the coffee shop, and she overheard my conversation and she was saying, look, we have a group. It was called at the time 50 Shades of Exceptional, but now it's called Social Neurodivergent Network. So there's over 237 members in this group, parents of autistic kids, special needs, whatever it is. It does not matter what the special need the child has. Everybody is welcome in there. They meet up, I think it's once a week or twice a week, for coffees. Parents can come and talk and have a connection and things like that. They will answer every question you ever have about anything, whether it's down to how do I handle this, there's meltdowns here, how do I stop this, or does anybody know a good psychiatrist, does anybody know a good diagnosis, anything like that. They are amazing and they have been a massive help to me. Another one as well is a Facebook group called DCA Warriors. I was obviously put on by one of the parents to that as well, because as a lot of special needs parents know, there's a lot of entitlements we are due to get, and we deserve our kids are due to get them, because Aoife, the thing is with the kids, like, I know some of them might, you know, mobility wise will need a lot of equipment. But even as it comes to Luke, like, he's able to walk, he's able to, you know, he's able to move his body and things like that, but he requires a lot of sensory equipment.
Yeah.
Like, he requires trampolines, he has swings hanging from, you know, in mm-hmm. our houses and things like that. Like, a lot of those things, and they cost. Jump, anything to do with sensory, you'll notice that they're nearly 100% more expensive than a normal neurotypical child would need, which is crazy because obviously the financial burden. Mm. But as you say, the forms are very, very difficult to fill out. But this group is fantastic. You ask them about anything. Also, as well, if you get a good psychiatrist or a yeah. person to diagnose the child for you, they are fantastic. They've offered as well to go through those forms with you and fill it out.
And I was saying about As I Am, which is the national charity, there's loads of links, and I'll go to that as well later on before
yes,
we wrap up.
They are fantastic. Yeah. Absolutely, like, unbelievable. What he's doing is fantastic for all of us. And I don't just mean the kids, I mean the parents, because that is another thing people are forgetting about, is that, like, yeah, we have, you know, we do have to care for these kids. But who cares for us, or who helps us navigate this? This is one thing I'm really struggle with, is who do I get the answers from? I don't get handed a manual. You know, when you have your baby first,
you do
you're handed,
your prenatal classes, and
yes,
you do,
and you get the books yeah. off the public health nurse, and it's each year goes up and up and up. But we don't get a manual to say, right, your child may need this help and that help. Like, we need to find that out for ourselves, which is so overwhelming to parents that some of them just can't do it.
We mentioned already that you've had great difficulty in trying to get a school place, and at this point Luke is turning 5. He's at that age where it is the time to start primary school. Just from my own research, I know that there are special educational needs organisers, or is it SENOs? Is that what
yeah,
they're kind of known as?
I'm the same. I say CENO or SENO. I'm not too sure. Yeah. But
and they are there to kind of advise people in that process. But how have you gone about it, and how difficult has it been, that process so far, and trying to get that place for September?
So yeah, like, that to me, I didn't imagine it was going to be. Now, I was warned by a lot of parents, oh God, you have school year next year, best of luck, you know, you need to get your forms, your books, everything, because each school is a different application date and a closing date, which I would have thought, you know, it would be in a generalised time. But no, like, these could all vary between weeks and days and months. Like, some of, like, there's one more school has left to be open for their applications. But at the moment, so yeah, there's a CENO or a SENO designated to each area, I suppose. So as you, like, I have a list of schools at the moment here, and there's different ones assigned to different areas. So what I've been doing is, like, everyone is entitled to get in contact with these special needs organisers, so they are there to help. Now at the moment their hands are a bit tied as well, because what's happening is there was supposed to be like a bill or a law passed that by December 31st X amount of schools needed to basically create these places, these ASD classes. They need, you know, and they were going to be given the funding, they were going to, you know, be given everything that needs to be to get this done. But unfortunately, the end of December came and that didn't happen. Nothing, you know, none of the schools came forward and said, yeah, we've, you know, we put into place for this and that and the other. So a lot of TDs, a lot of CENOs and things like that have been getting in contact with them. Now they've been given the end of January was the time frame to have it done by. So I did see that John Cummins actually had listed there, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, that there has been a number of schools allocated different classes in the country.
Yeah, so it was a big announcement all across the southeast, they however many additional ASD classes or facilities at the funding would be allocated.
Yeah, well, this is the thing, is that, like, when is it happening, and also where? Because when I looked at the list, yeah, it looks very, very large as a country as a whole, but when you just dial it down to Waterford. So although it sounds like we got three schools that are going to give us those places, in theory, I don't know if that's going to make any benefit due to the fact of the long waiting lists. I don't know. Like, I've been told from one school that Luke is 8th on the list. So I'm like, how many more places are going to have to be made for him to be number one to go in there? Like, you know, and I'm just not prepared, I suppose, to sit back and just allow somebody else to dictate what happens to my son's education. Like, I want him to excel. I can see him at the moment really trying to talk, really trying to engage and really be present and understand our world as well as me trying to understand his world. But I feel that if that's going to stop, and the help he's getting at the moment, I feel like he's just either going to regress or stay stagnant.
The progress that he's made.
Yeah, those prize milestones that he's going to need to reach by a certain age. Like, I just feel like they're going to just fall through the cracks, whereas we don't want that, and no parent wants that. We want to give our kids the best chance that we can get.
What would you say to parents that are at the very beginning of the journey of understanding their child, and parents that might suspect that there is something there? What advice would you give them?
Well, to be honest, I would say is to reach out to, if you know anybody who maybe has a child with special needs, or as I said, these groups that I'm in at the moment are fantastic. They accept anybody in. The minute you come in, you can tell your story, you can observe, you can just look, you can come to the coffee mornings, you can go, we set up loads of events and things like that. Like, the girls are fantastic. They do amazing sensory things. Even the likes of Paddy's Day, Spree, they have allocated areas for the kids, things like that. So what I would say is to get in touch with a group. Another thing I'd like to mention as well is that a lot of things, like, you know, a neurotypical child would be able to maybe go to soccer on a Saturday morning or a Sunday, and they might go to training, or they might do, I don't know, dancing or different hobbies and stuff like that. That was a big thing for me. Me and Luke's dad really wanted that. Obviously, you know, the dads want to bring him to hurling and soccer and whatever, the boxing and things like that. So at the moment, I know the Waterford Gymnastics Club, they have a fantastic day where they allocate a time just for special needs. And then another friend of mine has set up, it's called Lioness Aerial Fitness. And it's basically hoops, hammocks, poles, climbing frames, like real aerial entertaining things. They have balls for the kids. They have the sensory lights. They have the soft play. She has started this just before Christmas, herself and her son, by herself. She nailed it in for 3 weeks. I couldn't believe it when she was sending me the progress photographs. Now, she does one in Wexford also, which is fantastic. I would love to let parents know that this is happening. It happens every Sunday at 10 o'clock in the morning. Lioness Aerial Fitness. You can find them on Instagram or Facebook. And her name is Lisa. And all the girls, are every instructor in there, they're all fantastic. They're amazing. They've even been amazing for me as a parent. I go there myself now and I do.
Oh, I'd love that.
So yeah, it's fantastic. It's like an adult playground also, which is fantastic. And for me, I was I did struggle a lot at the very start. It was a lot of grieving, a lot of crying, and obviously trying to process,
it's a grief. Shock.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. You know, you just, so for me, I kind of just said, right, I'm going to try this and see, does it work? Down with Lisa, and Karen is my instructor. She's an absolute lifesaver. A big shout out to herself, because wow, I wouldn't be who I am here today. I would still be at home crying, and I would still be grieving this thing and avoiding situations and avoiding all these different things because I didn't know how to navigate it. This particular studio and group of people help me as well as the children. And it's phenomenal. There's no expectations. Kids come in, shoes off, whatever you want to do. You can do that, make the mess, do what you want, scream, shout, stim, do whatever you need be. And the same goes for the adults. We can do what we want, and it is amazing. So any parents out there that are looking for something like that, like a hobby or anything to bring the kids to, or just a break, because we sit and talk with each other and we have tea and this and the other as well.
There's hurling camps in the summertime.
Yes, exactly.
And I think that in Dungarvan, they did a pilot for a rugby camp. Yes. Things are changing.
They are. And this is the thing. A lot of people are starting it because they know the high demand for it, which is fantastic.
Just before we wrap up, I just want to say, if you need support in any way, shape or form, As I Am is the National Autism Charity. And if you need advice, they have tons of really useful resources as well as information on the website asiam.ie. And they also have a helpline Monday to Thursday, operates from 10 o'clock to 3 o'clock. And that number is available on the website. Amy, thank you so much for sharing your experience and telling us all about Luke, and let's hope, fingers and toes crossed.
Absolutely, all of them crossed. And look, Aoife, thank you so much for letting me have my two cents here today. It's been fantastic to speak with you, and I just hope to raise some sort of awareness. Or as I said, if any parent wants to contact me through social media, anything like that, Amy Ahern is my name on Instagram, anything like that, reach out, Facebook, Instagram, anything like that. I'll do what I can with what I can. I can offer you help or just an ear to listen to. So yeah, that's brilliant. Thank you for giving me this platform, Aoife.